Okay, Hare Krishna. I just got back from my recent treatment from the doctors. It's great weather. It's already 24 degrees and it's only 9:30 in the morning. Yesterday it was up to 32. This is just the kind of weather for me. Tomorrow I'll be heading off to Padayatra and I wonder how I'm even going to be getting podcasts out from Padayatra. That's a good question. And then from there to New Bajadam for a few days and then back to here. My cousin Robert also is coming Monday and Tuesday here to Budapest, so I'll try to meet up with him. Munjai is asking two questions. And they're the only ones I have on hand right now. Why is it important that we sing the prayers of the Acharyas during the morning and evening programs in the original language, Sanskrit or Bengali? Some devotees think that they could concentrate on them better if they were sung in their own language. Yes, the answer is that we should follow our tradition and sing songs in the language that they're composed in. The same is also done in different other religions, even though people may have some mother tongue, still they may sing songs that are in Latin or some other language which were indigenous to the actual original source of the religious tradition from which they came. Tradition can be connected to India or, of course, even beyond that, the spiritual world. So we should sing songs, say prayers that have already been said by previous acharyas or prescribed to us in their original language, and concentrate on them better if they're sung in your own language. Well, learn the word for word. It's like Gayatri Mantra, Hare Krishna Mantra. Should we sing the actual translation instead of singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? Should we sing, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service, O Lord, O energy of the Lord? So that's the meaning, that's the translation. But the potency is in Krishna's names, not in the word Lord or energy of the Lord, even though it may mean the same thing. Therefore, potency is lost. So it's not too much to ask that for the number of songs that we have, Guru Vashtaka, Guru Vandana, Gaura Arti, and so on, that for these songs, devotees actually learn the meanings of these words. Why not? And just as when we're chanting Gayatri Mantra, or at least I hope that's what's happening when we're chanting Gayatri Mantra, the devotees are concentrating on the meaning of the words. In other words, that they know what every word of the mantra means, Om Bhur Bhuvah Svah Tat. And when they do, then it doesn't really matter what language it's being said in, because you both understand and concentrate on the words. Now, in addition to that, because these songs and prayers are composed originally in this language and they've been repeated by many great acharyas, therefore, Srila Prabhupada points out, when we repeat those prayers, not only do we get the benefit of the prayer, but we also get the spiritual benefit that has been accrued or compounded in the prayers themselves by having been repeated by great personalities. Pibatam rasam alayam. So just as Srimad Bhagavatam has become riper by being spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, it was originally spoken by Vyasadev, but Shukadeva Goswami's understanding of Bhagavatam is deeper, therefore his repeating Bhagavatam makes it even better than when it was spoken by the original speaker. In the same way, these different songs become more tastier, more relishable when spoken in the original language, and therefore again, we derive great benefit from that. On many occasions, Srila Prabhupada had spoken, for instance, in Hindi when his disciples didn't understand or spoke in English, when the Hindi audience didn't necessarily understand, and Prabhupada said that that's all right because the sound vibration itself will purify. So that underlying sound vibration, upon which language is built, is also there inherent within the original language of prayers, and therefore we get benefit even when we understand or not. Although obviously greatest benefit is gotten when one knows what he's saying, concentrates on what he or she is saying, is attentive to the mood of the prayers, and that way maximum benefit comes by being in contact with those who have also repeated the prayers before. And on top of that, the language itself is pure. So Sanskrita means that this is a perfect language. Its words, its grammar, completely and perfectly represent both concepts as well as moods or tastes, which fail to be communicated by other lesser languages. So that's the first question. And the second, when you're speaking about the Nabi Brahma of Jagannath in a podcast, you've mentioned that it is from the navel of the body that Krishna left behind. How is that? As Krishna only left the planet 5,000 years ago, whereas Jagannath's worship is much older than that. Let me just answer this question in a way that I've already addressed it before in a more general way. The Nabi Brahman enters Lord Jagannath, but Jagannath's worship predates 5,000 years. Lord Krishna is gifted the Sudarshan Chakra from Agni, although it's his eternal weapon. Krishna meets Srimati Radharani, although they're eternal associates. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is cursed by a Brahmin to be without any home, personal belongings, although his role as a sannyasi is his eternal pastime. So this and many, many, many other examples are there which illuminate the nature of Krishna's Leela, the Leela of Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and appear to give a beginning and an end to certain pastimes which are actually even eternal in nature. And therefore we say that this Nabi entered Jagannath's body at this particular time. And these things take place because we are in the material world. And for one reason, that is to sort of conform to the nature of material world, where adi antavanta, where things have a beginning, middle, and end. Krishna's pastimes also appear to follow that trend. Similarly, in order to give materialistic people, neophyte devotees, some insight and conception to the connection and interaction of Krishna's pastimes with each other, with this material realm, therefore these things are enacted. In the same way we see Chaitanya Charitamrita quoting verses that were not even necessarily written at the time of the writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking verses of Rupa Goswami that Rupa Goswami had not as yet written. And of course, there once again, these verses are from eternal glorification of Krishna. They eternally exist, whether they appear to be chronologically written after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu originally seemed to quote them, or somewhere else within the text, is really a detail, because they're eternally existing. And of course, the same holds true for a lot of the chronology, or some of the chronology and statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we should expect that when eternal, unlimited potency or energy, personalities are manifest in the material world, which is temporary and of a temporary nature, then often there is a overlapping of pastimes, a lack of chronological sequence, because what appears to be chronological and sequential in the material world is not necessarily so in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is not limited to time, space, considerations that we are. And of course that also brings to mind the nature of Krishna's pastimes described in Srimad Bhagavatam, how Shukdeva Goswami sometimes speaks of one pastime as if it's happening before another pastime, where in actuality it happened after. In the eternal realm, these things are all going on, and how eternal activities are communicated here to this very puny little world that we live in takes place by the action of the Lord's Swarup Shakti, which sometimes may not coincide with the way the lesser external energy is working. And therefore, for us who are bound by the limitations of the external energy, then things don't make sense, or we don't understand, or we tend to be so audacious as to say that this is an apparent contradiction. Hare Krishna.